Okay, well, welcome, everybody. Nice to see everybody on this Sunday before Rosh Hashanah. We are less than a week away before Yom Hadin, before we stand in judgment. The day of Yom Hadin should, on the one hand, be full of this Emas Hadin, because Hashem is looking at every facet of me, every aspect of me. And on the other hand, aside from the Emas Hadin, we should also be feelings of joy, that we are being judged by the Dayan Emes, V'chol Ma'amidim Shehu Dayan Emes. We're being judged by the most fair judge who really gets us. He will judge every aspect of ourselves, but he understands every variable and mitigating circumstance. And with that comes the joy of crowning Hashem as king, as the Kel Rachum V'chanun. It's the dichotomy of the Gilu Bira'ada. The ra'ada, the fear, the trembling, is the question of who I am, what are my goals, what have I become, how do I measure up? But the gila, is because Hashem knows us and is full of compassion. So it is, gilu bira'ada, be happy, but be happy with a sense of fear, have that balance. Arguably, the most intense tefillah on Rosh Hashanah is unasana tokef, where we acknowledge that our lives are hanging in the balance because of this judgment. In source number one, V'chol ba'i olam ya'avrun lifanecha kivnei maron, at the end of that piece. We stand in awe and perhaps dread at this image that we are like sheep. Kivakaras roa edro tachas, kivakaras roa edro ma'avir tsono tachas shivto. I'll stop a minute. Do you want a handout? You have enough? Here, I'll just leave them here. Okay. So we stand in dread when we think of the notion kivakaras roa edro mavir tsono tachas shifto, that we are like sheep under the rod of this watchful shepherd herding his sheep one by one through a narrow opening. And so does Hashem look at us. Kain tavir v'sispar v'simne v'sifkod nefesh kol chai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts us. He attends to us. He assesses and surveys us. And will make a decision about this year based on that assessment. But at the same time, while we have to feel dread about this image, and we can't sugarcoat it, I think there's a lot of sugarcoating of the Emas Hadin, there should be Emas Hadin. However, we always have to balance it with the, keep in mind, the Gilu Bira'ada, because while we are being judged, we have to keep in mind that Hashem is our Ro'eh, Kivakaras Ro'eh Edro, caring and attending to us while he is assessing us. What I'd like to do is look at this image of Kivnei Maron that we have in Usana Tokef. The Lashon of Kivnei Maron, I've translated it as, and the Machzorim translated as, sheep. We are like sheep. Usana Tokef says we are like sheep under that Kivakaras Roa Edro. However, this is actually an echo. These words are an echo from the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah in Source 2. That tells us the different times of year in which the various aspects of the world are judged. B'Rosh Hashanah kol ba'ei ha'olam ovrin lefanav kivnei maron. Every single creature comes before him kivnei maron. And then the Gemara asks the question, ma'i kivnei maron? What does kivnei maron mean? And one explanation is based on the Mefarshim, based on commentary, and I've seen this in many of the various Musar Sfarim. Kivnei Imrana. What is the definition? Well, the most famous definition is Kivnei Maron means the sheep. But there's another explanation. Kema'alos Beis Maron, according to Reish Lakish. It's like a narrow mountain pass that if there's a group of people going up this path up the mountain, you can't go side by side. The group of people must form a single file because if not, one person can drop to their death because it's so narrow. That's what Kivnei Maron is, Kema'alos Beis Maron. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Shmuel, Kechayalos Shel Beis David. What's another explanation is that Kivnei Maron is that Hashem looks at us as if we are soldiers in the army of David, where the general is looking and surveying and assessing each one and counting each one. And the Gemara finishes off to say that Hashem surveys everything and everyone in one survey. And then it continues to use the pasuk Hayotzer Yachad Libam Hamevin El Kol Ma'asein. This is a pasuk from Tehillim that Hashem is looking at everybody and understands everybody's actions. With that is the notion that Hashem understands each and every one of us and knows about our actions. So there's three possibilities of what Maron can mean. Like sheep, which is what the tefillah of Unasana Tokav clearly adopts. Like a narrow mountain pass, where a group of people need to ascend that pass in single file, because if not, someone can fall to their death. So it's individual, like soldiers in David HaMelech's army. But the common denominator in all of these explanations is that each person is looked at and counted and assessed individually, every sheep, each mountain climber, and each soldier. However, while each one is assessed individually, the end of the Gemara tells us that it has to be done, that it is within the klal. The chulan niskarin beskira achas, they are all surveyed in one unit. So there's this notion of being judged as an individual, while at the same time, how does this individual fit into the context of a klal? It's the yachid within the context of the rabbim. It's the notion of understanding ourselves and doing a lot of introspection. Where are my strengths? Im ein ani li mi li, how do I develop myself? But on the other hand, it's kishani la'atzmi ma'ani, I develop myself within the context of the klal. How do I identify with the klal? In fact, in source number 3, which I'm not going to read, the Michtav Me'Eliyahu points out, it's a big piece by the Michtav Me'Eliyahu, it's just there for you if you to look at, that the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, on a deep level, aside from the technicalities of why we have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, he says on some deep level, the first day of Rosh Hashanah is a day where we are judged individually. It's like a harsher kind of judgment. And the second day is when we are judged as a klal, which is a softer kind of judgment because we are sort of ensconced within the zechuyos of the klal. So the notion that Hashem attends to each and every one of us, yes, it can be intimidating and it should engender the emas hadin. God knows everything that I am thinking. He knows my motivations. He knows when I am dishonest and when I lack authenticity and when I could have done better. But on the other hand, it is quite encouraging because Hashem is caring and embracing me. It is the Melech, Hashem is the Melech Elyon. What head of state really is concerned about the affairs of the little people, of the plebeians? Right? It is the Melech Elyon versus the Melech Evyon. This is one of the tipiyutim that we say on Rosh Hashanah. The Melech Elyon versus the Melech Evyon, an impoverished king, right? Versus impoverished Melech Basar Vadam versus Melech Malchei Hamlachim. Rav Pinkus relates this idea of Kivnei Maron to the importance of every single individual, that each one of us has chashivas, and each one is precious in the eyes of Hashem, and each one of us matters. And we have an impact. And he says this gives us a tremendous amount of encouragement and chizuk, that we can believe in ourselves. It gives us the encouragement that our private or maybe public acts of gevura, or our private or public acts of chesed, or those private acts of plugging through the day without losing our cool, that makes a difference to Hashem. It makes a difference to us. And by extension, it can impact not just our sense of self, but it impacts our environment. It can impact our families, our little world, and quite literally, the entire world. And if you think that I'm being a little bit overdramatic or talking in hyperboles, let's look at source number 4. This is what the Rambam tells us, which is an echo of the Gemara and Kedushin. I have them both for you. But the Rambam tells us very famously, Chata cheta chad, harei achriyas atzmo ve'es kol ha'olam kulo l'kaf chova ve'karam lo hashchasa. If a person does one aveira, he can tip the scales for himself and the entire world to make the world guilty whatever that may mean. And if a person, on the other hand, does one mitzvah, he can literally tip the scales for himself and the entire world. The tzaddik holds up the world as the foundation of the world. What does that mean? It means that a person who did an act of righteousness can literally support the whole world. It can impact. What an empowering thought. My one act can tip the scales. I think that many of us may have a handicap when we think about this concept. What do I mean? I mean that many of us have had a very strong chinuch, or we have sent our kids to schools with strong chinuch, so that when the kids go in on the first day of school, what do they see? They see Tishrei, and they see the picture of the scales, and the mitzvos, and the averos, and the world, right? Every kindergartner can tell you this idea, but it seems very basic, but that's why it's important to learn these concepts as we get older, so that we can uncover and discover the depth and the layer of these concepts. Baruch Hashem, we're all familiar with it, but what is the deeper meaning of this? And what we're saying is that there's literally some cosmic impact that we can make on the world. Hashem judges us individually, but every act somehow impacts the world at large. V'chulon niskarin b'skira achas. It's the Yachid versus the Rabbim. But even if we don't understand this cosmic implication, maybe practically speaking, it's not so hard to grasp. Because every act that we do and everything that we say can impact the environment and those around us. You know, think about the sense of accomplishment that we may have if we wake up 5 minutes earlier to put that extra effort into our davening. Think of the sense of fulfillment that we have when we withhold that comment or withhold that piece of lashon hara or maintain a confidence or spend 5 minutes of uninterrupted, undistracted time with our children and grandchildren. What does it do? It empowers us. It makes us feel good. And by extension, it may brighten our mood. It brightens the mood of those around us. It brightens the mood of our children. Our children go to school with a better day. The teacher comes home having a better day at school. And so it goes. And alternatively, we can picture the scenario of a rushed morning, a loss of control, a comment said in anger, a kid huffing off to school, the husband getting upset, the kids then bothering other kids in school, the whole class loses recess, and before you know it, your kid is the problem child, right? So this may seem, you know, this reminds me of the Dr. Seuss book, It's All Because a Little Bug Went Kachu. Anybody know that? Well, that book? It's the chain reaction that happens because a little bug went hachu and it impacted the turtle, it impacted the farmer, et cetera, et cetera. And before you know it, the entire town is there trying to save this, you know, from this devastating disaster, right? It may seem exaggerated, but the impact, the ripple effect is there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at each one of us, Kivdei Maron, but we are surveyed about how we are impacting, how that one act, how we can impact our environment. When we look at these three imageries, perhaps we can think about it in terms of different personality types. The passive sheep, quietly meandering, sometimes fearful, sometimes defenseless, being herded. The sturdy mountain climber, right, moving with a purpose. And the toughened soldier who is calculated, who is marching with a purpose. Hashem looks at each and every one of us, whether we're that sheep or that mountain climber or that soldier, and assesses us relative to what we are capable of. Can it mean perhaps that we develop and build on those traits? We're brought into this world as helpless infants, completely dependent, like the sheep under the watchful eye of that shepherd. We're rudderless, we don't have goals, and we are egocentric. Baruch Hashem, my daughter just had a baby on Sunday. These babies are delicious. They're right? We know that infants are completely defenseless, without goals, except for eating. And they're focused on themselves, on their own survival. But then hopefully what happens, we begin to develop and we move from that defenseless and vulnerable child, the sheep, to an individual with more cognitive abilities, right? A toddler begins to explore his world around him. He's moving with purpose, right? He's formulating goals perhaps outside of himself, climbing that mountain, overcoming the obstacles of meeting their milestones, of reading and writing, of learning about the world and relating to Hashem and the Torah. And then the ultimate is when the man continues to move forward, trudging along like that soldier with a clear goal It's someone who has a clear vision and purpose in life, a tafkid. If we think about Yonah, that we will be reading on Yom Kippur, when Yonah fled from his tafkid of giving over his nevuah, this idea, says the Gra, it's not just a fanciful story, it very well could be the story of each and every one of us. What tafkid are we fleeing from? What excuses do we make for ourselves and for others? On the ship that Yonah was on, a terrible storm plagued the people, plagued the ship, right? And the sailors, about to be thrown overboard, are running to Yonah, and they say to him in source number 5, Vayomre lav hagida nali, ma malachtecha, what is your occupation? This doesn't just mean what is, they didn't want to know what Yonah's occupation was, says the Gra, but they wanted to know, what is your spiritual mission? Why were you brought into this world, and what are you fleeing from? Why is the storm happening? What are you fleeing from? When we think about tafkid, we think about, go back to Sefer Bamidbar. Sefer Bamidbar is the Sefer HaPakudim, the Chumash HaPakudim. It's about being counted and assessed. And the Ramban talks about the notion, what does it mean, counting, Pakudos Sum, or uses a lot of Lashon of counting. He says the idea of Pei Kuf Dalet is the idea of Hashem's Hashgacha Pratis. Like when it says Hashem Pakad Es Sarah, Hashem didn't count Sarah, Hashem attended to Sarah. It's a Hashgacha Pratis. But with that Hashgacha Pratis comes, what other thing do we see in the Lashon of Pei Kuf Dalid? It's a Tafkid. Hashem is looking at us and counting us. V'sispar v'simna v'tifkot. What is our Tafkid? It's very difficult to determine what that Tafkid is, and our Tafkid changes depending on our life circumstances. But the question that we should ask ourselves is, have we developed? Have we matured? Have our directions in life improved and changed? Have we developed past that egocentric self? You know, sometimes people will surprise you. Have you known people at a young age in school or whatever it was, they were younger, they were quiet, perhaps passive wallflowers, and then you see them, you know, a few years later or 20 years later, and you see this person has changed over the course of 20 years. They've changed, or they've taken their core personality, and now maybe they're running successful businesses, or they're active members in their community, climbing that mountain, or they've maintained that core personality of passivity, but they're doing these quiet acts of gevurah and quiet acts of chesed, humbly taking on responsibility, managing to raise a functional family despite personal hardships. Right? We're constantly morphing and changing roles. And I would argue that perhaps we are changing roles not just in the stages of our lives, but from one minute to the next, in one day. We can change from that role of that passive sheep, that yes man or woman at work, dutifully doing her job at work. Then we turn into that mountain climber at lunchtime when we make that phone call and try to deal with a family issue and problem solve. And at night we become a warrior trying to take care of medical situation, and will stop at nothing to get the proper medical care for a loved one. We're constantly changing and morphing from these roles. Kivnei Maron. But we also have to do an honest accounting of ourselves. The sheep is one sheep that goes through a narrow space. The mountain climber is walking in single file, and the soldier is being counted one by one. And Rav Pinkus asks us to ask the question, not how do I measure up to Mrs. Goldberg across the street whose babkas are perfect every time, not Mrs. Friedenberg who just seems to have it all together and her kids are so clean all the time and everything is just so calm. He says, you should ask not how can I be more like her or why can't I be like her? You should ask the question, says Rav Pinkus, why can't I be more like me? The real me. How do I measure up with my innate potential? Have I used my skills and abilities? Teshuva, he says, is a return to oneself. It's a return to the Tzelem Elokim that is in each and every one of us. Because in order to return to Hashem, we have to return to that essence of who we are. We need to dig deep within ourselves. How do I measure up honestly to what I can be? And to try to be something we're not, that's just an exercise in futility. It lacks authenticity. You know, I remember once we spent a Shabbos with a family. One, my kids were little, And I was just in awe of this mother who never raised her voice, and everything was very calm. And her voice was so soft. And, you know, I have a very loud voice, in case you haven't noticed. And I said, why can't I be more like, why can't I just be calm? And my kids, remember, the next day they had, one of them had a tantrum. And I started talking like this, in a falsetto, like this, trying to imitate that woman. And one of my kids, Emma, why are you talking like that? Why are you talking like that? You know, it wasn't me. Of course I can look at others to learn from others and to say, how can I take my core personality? So I am a little strident. I'll give you that. I have a loud voice. And when I was younger, I was always put in the choir in the low section because I had a booming voice. That's who I am. Doesn't mean that I can't take that core personality and learn and model from someone else who's a little bit softer and tweak it. But to pretend that I'm something that I'm not, my kids will know immediately. People will know immediately. It's not, where are you taught? I remember that. I was like, okay, I'm going to try a different tactic now. In any case, you know, what he says is trying to be something that we're not will result in frustration. I guess frustration in ourselves because we're barking up the wrong tree, or frustration from other people because they know we're not real. You know, the last week I had a long day and I was filling up my gas with my car. And I'm putting the nozzle in my car and it wasn't fitting. It's like, what's going on? I goes, oh my gosh, it's diesel fuel. Now, years ago, I probably would have killed my car because now the nozzles are actually different sizes. So you can't make that mistake. But years ago, I probably would have killed my car and I would have made that mistake. Because I would have been putting the wrong fuel into my car. So looking to see, to be something that we're not, it's like putting the wrong fuel into the car, right? It's barking up the wrong tree. And Rav Pinkus explains in source number 5, I have it there for you so you should see the source. I'm not going to read it all, but he begins this piece by asking the question, he's always very practical. Me'atam utal, in source number 6, Me'atam utal leinu ve'er mahi ha'gdara shel adam, he asks. What is the essence of a man? He says, v'hine im l'mashal ha'yinu ba'im la'hagdiro mahi mechonit. V'haril mechonit yesh manoa, yesh gegulim, moshavim. He said, if you are, and I'm not going to continue reading it, I'll just tell it to you, but I'll pass. He said, if you were to ask somebody, what is a car? And if a person answers the question by saying, well, it has wheels, it has a window, it has brakes, it has a door, you're missing the mark. You're not defining what is a car. If you want to ask somebody what is a car, you have to define it by its essence and by its function. And you have to say, it drives. So if we ask, and the truth is, I'm a speech pathologist, and there is the language test where you test children and ask them to define certain things. What is a bird? If you just say it's an animal, that doesn't define its essence, and there's something, you know, lacking in your language development, your vocabulary. So he uses this very example that actually we use in some of the language testing. But in any case, if we ask ourselves, what is man? What is Adam? We're talking about Rosh Hashanah, which is Hayom Haras Olam, when Adam HaRishon either was created b'machshava or b'masa. That's a whole nother topic. But it's the beginning of the world where Adam HaRishon was placed in this world. And if you ask him, we ask a question, what is Adam? And Adam, by definition, is somebody that is connected to Hashem in some way, because that's what Adam HaRishon was. You have to go back to the very beginning. That's what we're doing. We're going back to the beginning. Adam HaRishon is connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, he says, Adam, we look at the word Adam, Aleph Dam. Hashem, Aleph, is connected to the Dam, to the person, right? Because the blood is the essence of a person. So the question is, when we try to be something that we're not, in an individual sense, we're barking up the wrong tree. But in a global sense, if we look at all of us, the main goal is to connect ourselves somehow to spirituality. Because the further we are from spirituality, the further we are from what Adam, the essence of Adam, is. And that just breeds frustration. If people are chasing after the wrong things and trying to fill themselves up for the wrong things, and on this treadmill, Greg, you see people are so busy chasing this and chasing that, and people feel empty. Even though they may be full of things, they're empty because they're not chasing after the wrong things. They're not filling themselves up. They're filling themselves up with spiritual junk food. This week's parsha. Look at number 7. Atem nitzavim hayom kulchem. You're all standing here today. Hayom is the idea of hayom is Rosh Hashanah. The Zohar speaks about this and other mafarshim. Hayom is Rosh Hashanah, right? It could be Rosh Hashanah. Atem nitzavim hayom. And the Or HaChaim tells us in source number 7. Od ramaz ba'amro atem nitzavim lefnei Hashem lefisha kol shahu meruchak mehakadusha kol maso nemucha v'rosho shfela. What does it mean, Nitzavim? You are all standing. Your heads are upright. And that means that you are doing what you need to do. This is like a pep talk to Klal Yisrael, right? Moshe's giving a pep talk. You're Nitzavim. Your head is not bowed down. Your head is not low because you're distancing yourself from Ruchnius. Your essence is that you are Nitzavim. The lower, the more you distance yourself from quality and spiritual endeavors, the lower you will get. In fact, that's what we have to think about when we are standing and listening to the shofar. We said, Hayom Haras Olam is the day that Adam HaRishon was created. We will try to recreate that scenario, says Rav Pinkas. We are renewed. We are recreated on Rosh Hashanah. In fact, when we blow into the shofar, I don't know if many of you know, this is a famous idea, which is a beautiful idea. One of the symbolisms of blowing into the shofar is to recreate HaKadosh Baruch Hu blowing into man. Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim. Right? That's what Rosh Hashanah is. It's recreating ourselves. Rav Chaim Friedlander says similarly in source number 8. He takes these couple of psukim, two psukim before the pasuk that we referenced in that Gemara at the very beginning of our shir. Ashrei hagoy asher Hashem elokav ha'am bachar l'nachalo lo. Blessed is this nation that Hashem is their God. Mishamayim hibit Hashem ra'az kol b'nei ha'adam. Hashem looks from Shamayim and scans and looks at all of mankind. And Rav Friedlander says, we can look at it not just that Hashem is looking from the heavens, but hibit Mishamayim hibit Hashem, Mishamayim. Hashem is looking to see how you have some Shamayim essence in you, right? He looks at that. He looks down from the heavens and he looks from the heavens to vis-a-vis the Shamayim. How much Ruchnius does each and every person have within them? So, Hivnei Maron, what is our essence? How much Ruchnius do we have within us? Rabbi Lef points out that the idea of sheep, this imagery of a sheep, that the roeh is looking at the sheep. As we said, the sheep is vulnerable and is dependent on that roeh. And he is counted and he's looked at and he's squashed together through a small opening. The Rambam describes it that it's like a farmer counts his sheep for the purposes of maser. 1, 2, 3, 4, right? He's looked at and attended to and counted. But the farmer or the shepherd is evaluating each and every one of those sheep. Are they present or are they not? Are they strong or are they weak? Are they sick or are they well? And so says Rev Lef. We have to ask ourselves, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu is asking ourselves, are we present or not? Are we present within Am Yisrael? Are we spiritually weak or are we spiritually healthy? Furthermore, he says that sheep is identified as being part of the flock that belongs to that particular shepherd. Are we identifiable by our actions and our goals as being part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's flock? Anu tzonecha v'ata ro'enu. That's what we're going to be saying on Rosh Hashanah. Are we really identifiable as Hashem's sheep? Do we wave that banner that proclaims that we are part of Am Yisrael by our actions, by our thoughts, by our goals, by what we're chasing after? If we think about going back to Parshas Bamidbar again, we know in Bamidbar, we talk about the Degolim and the different banners that are being waved by each of the various Shvatim and each of the quadrants, and each banner represents the particular characteristics of each Shevet. And all of Klal Yisrael are waving the banner of Hashem. If we think about what a banner, what a flag represents, it represents an ideology. It represents a mission, right? A team has a flag. A state has a flag. A country has a flag. The Olympic teams have flags. The Olympic itself has flags. We put flags on the moon to identify ourselves, right? In the 1960s, when the United States went to the moon, right? We put the American flag there. And the question that we have to ask ourselves is, which flag are we flying? Do we reciprocate when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us in Shir HaShirim, V'diglo Alai Ahava, the flag that Hashem is waving is my flag of love for Bnei Yisrael. Are we reciprocating by saying, B'shem Hashem Elokeinu Nidgol? That's not Nigdol, that's Nidgol. Dalid Gimel Lamed. Are we waving the flag of Hashem? So each of these metaphors of Kivnei Maron, we are judged for who we are, how we measure up as an individual, how we identify with the general, with our goals, and what we represent. Is it consistent with who we are? Is it Tzelem Elokim? But as we said, there is also the need to develop ourselves relative to the klal. And says Rav Lef, the sheep is part of the herd and is identifiable as belonging to the herd, to the group. The one who climbs that steep, narrow mountain pass must be aware of his surroundings, of the person in front of him and the person behind him, and that soldier is there to serve a mission for the welfare of his country. We cannot attain individual significance without the context of a klal. In Pirkei Avos, Ezohi Derech Yeshira Shivo Lo Ha'adam, Kol Shehi Tiferes La'oseha V'Tiferes Lo Min Ha'adam. What actions should we strive to do? Those actions that bring glory to me, but also bring glory to mankind. And what that means is that our sense of self should be developed as a way of connecting with Hashem. We have to develop our sense of self, our talents, be really in tune with who we are, but it should be developed relative to those around us and how can I contribute to those around us. It should never be done at the expense of those around us. Never be done by the expense of those around us. And you think about it, I'll use a personal example. I have a child who is a daughter who's quite musical. And when she was younger, nothing else existed except her voice and standing in the mirror and doing all kinds of, you know, personal concerts at 1 a.m, 2 a.m, screaming at the top of her lungs. She's a young kid, 5, 6, you know, playing on the piano, right? There was no regard. She was developing herself. She was developing her talents, but there was absolutely no regard that anybody else existed, right? It was just her and her music and her voice, right? You can think about kid boys who are on the drums. They're, you know, using the drums at all hours of the night, or kids that are developing their art, you know, their artistic talent. The whole house is their palette, right? So as we develop, we develop ourselves, and then we become aware of our surroundings. So that if we are late, late for davening or late for doing Erev Shabbos preparations, which is L'shem Shamayim, and involved in doing mitzvos, we have this urgency, right, to get it done. We also have to be cognizant and refrain from exuding that sense of stress on our families, right? It's Bein Adam LaMakom, it's Bein Adam LaAtzmo, and it's Bein Adam LaChavero. So the person who's trying to develop himself in the area of Yira Shamayim may be a more serious personality, right? You think of someone who's full of Yira as more serious, but the really developed personality will have a sense of serenity and simcha towards others, because of his Yira Shamayim. I think we spoke about that last year when we talked about Pachad Yitzchak, right? That Yitzchak is the epitome of Yira, yet his name is Yitzchak, right? It has this laughter in it because the person who is really full of Yira Shamayim exudes a sense of calm, because that's what Yira Shamayim is. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to walk around. Anyway, yesh v'yesh. But the idea is to keep in mind our individual strength and potential on the one hand, and how I can contribute to the klal on the other. And I would argue that klal is different at different stages of our lives. Chesed begins at home. If we disregard our home and we do chesed for the klal, obviously we know that's not so healthy. The klal could be our family unit. It can morph to the shul. It can morph to the school. It can morph to the class mothers. It can branch out depending on who we are. But it's the idea that we have to be cognizant. Rav Hirsch points out on our Pasuk at Tehillim, Yotzer Yachad Libam Hamevin El Kol Maseim, he says, Hashem looks down from Shamayim and sees that he created, Yotzer Yachad Libam, that He created them yachad, for a life for one another. Their hearts are interconnected, where one person supports the other. That's how we are designed. And when we don't keep that in mind, practically, it's like putting in that diesel fuel into our car because something is off. Our equilibrium is off. When I don't combine that im'ein ani li mili with the sha'ani la'atzmi ma'ani. And Rav Hirsch says, for the animal kingdom, there is no regard for the other. There's no real compassion unless it's instinctual. But for humanity, we are created to act for the welfare of others. It's what defines us as a human being. On Rosh Hashanah, we try to tap into that power of that first human being, of Adam HaRishon, right? Hayom HaRas Olam. Because when Adam was created, there needed to be someone else along with him. Lo tov hayos Adam levado. Because man by nature has to give. He has to be part of something other than himself. That's the chesed aspect. Olam chesed yibaneh. The notion of chesed is so fundamental to think about on Rosh Hashanah when we're trying to tap into that power of the day. Because the beginning of creation itself is Hashem's act of creating the world was in essence the biggest chesed, right? By giving, we are emulating HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Chol Ma'aminim, Shehu Melech Olam, at source number 11, that's part of the Piyutim on Rosh Hashanah. The Chol Ma'aminim, Shehu Melech Olam, Hanoheg B'chasdo B'chol Dar. He is the king of the world, but he is still giving. And because he is the king of the world, he is bestowing kindness. The Chol Ma'aminim, Shehu Notzer Chesed. Hasovel Ma'alim Ayin Misorim. He looks askance. He looks aside from people that may be sinning. Can we let people have a pass? Do we have to scrutinize all the time? Right? Are we emulating HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is Kel Rachum V'Chanun? In source number 12, there's a Gemara that is based on the Pasuk in Yecheskel. Va'aten soni, tson mar isi. You are my sheep. You are the sheep of my herd. Adam atem, you are man. You are an Adam. Ani elokeichem ne'um Hashem elokim. And what does Rashi say there? Rashi says, Adam atem, einchem kebehemos be'enai. You are not like animals. Going back to the idea from Rav Hirsch. We're not like animals. We have the capacity to give. Menachem Bayless was a victim of a blood libel in 1913. My daughter actually did a play on that in last year. And he was a victim of a blood libel in 1913, and he was accused of killing a young boy. And there was a court case that went on. And to prove that the Jew had no regard for life, I saw this in the Sefer by Rav Druck, the prosecutor quoted the following Gemara that you have on the next page. He said, Omrim kavrein shel ovdei kochavim eimetamim. When you have a grave or a corpse of a non-Jew, it doesn't bring tuma, right? There's a kalacha question. Does it bring tuma or not? Why? Shene'emar v'tein soni, tson marisi, adam atem. You are mankind. Atem kriyin adam v'ein ovdei kochavim kriyin adam. You are considered a man, but Ovdei Kochavim are not considered man. And the prosecutor quoted this Gemara and says, you see, there's no tuma from a non-Jew because you don't consider us human, meaning you probably killed this child. And Rav Meir Shapiro of Lublin gave a rebuttal in this very dramatic court case. And he says, it's not saying that you're not an Adam, but we have to think, what is the essence of an Adam and who identifies as an Adam? And we look at the word Adam, there is no plural for the word Adam. Adam is one. You can't make it plural. Adam, Atem. Who is the Atem? And he says, as Jews, we are all connected as one. Even though we are many, we are Adam. We are one unit. And when one Jew is accused and suffering, all Jews equally feel the pain, which is why the courtroom was full of people defending this one man who may, they may not have even known. for non-Jews, they are a multitude. They are an atem. But they don't have that unifying characteristic. It's just talking about the characteristic and the uniqueness of the Jewish people, that we are all like brothers, right? The unity is the unique defining characteristic. I had the pleasure of hearing last week Rabbi Naftali Horowitz, who is speak to us. I work in a special ed school, and in the orientation, they had a keynote speaker who is Rabbi Naftali Horowitz, who is the managing partner of wealth management at Morgan Stanley. And I don't know if any of you have heard of him. He's written a book, and he's on the lecture circuit doing a lot of inspirational, motivational speaking. So he came to speak to us. He talks about wealth management and character development. He's a very interesting person. And he so poignantly pointed out that as a civilization, we have developed exponentially, right? It's something that we all know. We've developed from putting man on the moon to space stations to curing so many illnesses to increasing life expectancy and modern conveniences. Yet the big paradox is that with all of these advancements, human nature remains the same. And the characteristics that have plagued mankind from the beginning of time still exist. And we still see war and jealousy and conflict, right? We've eradicated so many diseases, but we have not eradicated the disease of selfishness, of being self-absorbed, of basically bad midos, bad character development. We have to constantly be on guard about our character development. And this idea of giving to the other, he points this out so beautifully. There's a pasuk in Source 14. This is a pasuk from Daniel, which says, "Umatztiki ha-rabim k'kochavim le'olam ve'ed." Those that are matztik the rabim, they are like stars forever. And the source number 14, the Gemara in Bava Basra tells us, "Elu gaba e tzedakah." Who are these people that are matzdikei harabim, that are lasting like kochavim, like stars forever? It's the gaba e tzedakah. So this idea that people that are involved with helping the other and giving of themselves are like stars, says Rav Elchanan Wasserman, is the notion that just as when you look, I don't know if anybody of you know astronomy, I don't, I am just repeating it, I can't say I understand it, but when you look at a star, the light of the star that you see is actually light years away from the source, so that when you look at the light of a star, you actually may be seeing the light of a star that doesn't even exist, which is why, says Rav Wasserman, the people that are give to the klal are like those stars, because the effect, the person, the source may not be here. You may not even know about it, but the source and the effect of it, the impact of it, can last a lifetime. And we know the impact of chesed, we know, can be endless. It can have those ripple effects. If we look at these, so that's the kivnei maron. Are we morphing? Are we making those transitions from the egocentric self, from developing ourselves, with keeping the others, keeping our community, keeping our families, keeping those around us in mind? And is there something else we can glean from these three metaphors? Moving from being focused on oneself to feeling vulnerable as sheep, aimless without goals, right? Trying to climb that mountain, trying to be somebody with purpose. And I think that defenseless sheep is many of us at different stages of life, as we have said, because I think we have a lot of questions that we ask ourselves, a lot of self-doubt. Am I doing it right? Do I have what it takes? Can I really go on that job interview? Can I really deal with that troublesome person in my life? Can I really pick up that phone and try to repair a fractured and tense relationship? Can I really do it? Can I really confront that person? There's so much self-doubt. What a long road it is from that sheep to the mountain climbing to that seasoned warrior. But if we think about it, what is the transition point? The transition point seems to be that mountain. We have to attempt to climb that mountain before we can reach that ultimate goal. Mi ale bahar Hashem umi akum bimkom kacho. We just said that in the Shir Shel Yom of Sunday. Who can climb that mountain? Neki kapayim uvar levav. Who is able to ascend that mountain and maintain that elevation, it is somebody who is pure of heart. It's somebody who is sincere. And when we say sincerity on the one hand, it means that we're not hypocritical. We're not echad bepeh, echad belev. But on the other hand, it means sincerity can mean acceptance of self. Sincerity comes from not trying to be someone we're not. And it comes from the realization that I have to develop myself within the context of the klal. Rav Pinkus says something so incredible and practical as we approach Yom Nevi'im. He says that as a young boy, when the Chazan would get up and say, Hineni, Mimas, Nirash, V'nifchad, Mipachad, Yoshev, Tehilos, right? He said, Basi, Lamod, Lischanein, Ba'am Yisrael, no, Ba'amcha, Asher Shlachuni, right? Basi, Lamod, Lischanein, Lefanecha, Al Amcha, Asher Shlachuni. I'm coming as a Shaliach Tzibur for the Shaliach of the rest of the Kahal. The rest of the Kehila, and I'm coming with humility because I don't know if I have what it takes. So please, give me a pass. I'm humbled. And he said, when he was young, the people in the Kehila, he would see them murmuring these words along with the Chazan. And it always bothered him. Why are people murmuring these words? It's supposed to be for the Chazan. I'm not supposed to say, I'm not the Shaliach Tzibor. And then as he matured, he realized he's not advocating to do this. He's saying, look at the words and think of yourself as the Shaliach Tzibor. We are, when people are saying that we should look at these words and say that perhaps at the end of the day, we all need to be the Shaliach Tzibor, because when we go into davening on Rosh Hashanah, we need to think of the needs of others. Think of the needs and the wants and the challenges of the person in front of you, of the person behind you, of the people we may know and don't know, because we are all part of that klal. The chulon niskarin beskira achas. We are davening kivnei maron on an individual basis, but we are a member of the greater community. It's the power of ourselves, of one, the power of the individual, of what Adam HaRishon, the essence of Adam HaRishon was, that was created on Rosh Hashanah, but it was the purpose, the Adam, that was created for contributing to the next person. And in this way, as the title of our shir describes, as you see on our handouts, we're able to look within ourselves, discover our strengths, recall and appreciate those chasadim that others have done for you throughout the year that may have a ripple effect on your life, or the chasadim that people have done years ago. How that impacted you, how that impacted your family and your relationships. What are the little chasadim that others have done for you? Think about how we can do chasadim for others. Think about the chasadim that Hashem has done for us. Look deep inside within ourselves so that we have the capacity to pour it out. Pour ourselves out to the next person so that we can engage in a heartfelt tefillah by pouring it out, by pouring our essence out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who are we as we are approaching Rosh Hashanah? The Nesana Tokef tells us we are Kivnei Maron. Three metaphors that the Gemara gives us: the sheep, the mountain climber, the soldier. Each one seems to be increasing with strength and purpose and confidence. The defenseless sheep, the rugged mountain climber, and the seasoned warrior. But at the end of the day, which interpretation does our tefillah adopt? It adopts the metaphor of the sheep. The sheep under the watchful eye of the shepherd, kivakaras roa edro, because whether we are physically fit, secure mountain climbers, financially stable and successful and having it all and things are going well, or seasoned soldiers, where we have direction, we're secure. On Rosh Hashanah, we have to feel the most, and we proclaim, Anu tzonecha va'ata ro'enu, kivnei maron are those sheep. And Amir Tashem, we should be zocha for a year of bracha, of hatzlacha, of good mazel, in the zechus of being part of and caring for our kahal, for the flock that is Am Yisrael. Have a ksiva v'chasima tova.